Live from across America and around the world, it's the Voice of Reason. You're tired of people telling you what the Bible says. Wouldn't you like to know what it means? Lighthouse World Ministries presents A Voice of Reason with your host, John Anderson. Join John and his guest as they will bring the scriptures alive. Come, let us reason together. And now, your host, John Anderson.
Well, welcome to the Voice of Reason, Halloween night. Across the U.S. and around the world, it's good to have you this evening. And those of you that are a regular listener of the Voice of Reason, I'm sure you probably thought that I would be doing something along the line that we're actually doing tonight. And we're going to deal with many aspects of this whole issue. First hour, we're going to talk about the devil, and I'm going to deal with demons on the second hour. Third hour, we're going to be dealing with the accuser of the brethren. Fourth hour, Lloyd Dale will be with us for that. And on the fourth hour, Jim Brayshaw out of Canada, with his book, Satan, Christianity's Other God, will be dealing with Satan there. And actually, when you look at Revelation 12:9 or Revelation 20, verse 2, it says they're synonymous and one and the same. That old serpent, the devil, dragon, and Satan. Gentlemen, I had on back in January of this year, and I'm really glad that he agreed to be back with us. He's coming to us live out of the former Soviet Union. His name is Duncan Hester, and he is the author of the book, The Real Devil. Duncan, thank you for taking the time this Sunday evening to be with us. I know it's very late over there for you, and thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, I always get responses because I've been dealing with this issue from about every angle you can deal with it for some time. My last book called Satan, An Authorized Autobiography. We gain new listeners and we gain new stations along the way. And I keep wanting to bring this up because this is one of the thrusts, I believe, frankly, Duncan. It's like my fourth hour guest. He wrote a book called Satan, Christianity's Other God. And that really kind of says it all, doesn't it?
Yeah, it certainly does, because as I think we said last time, we can't, as I see it, we can't have a belief in an all-powerful God, as presented certainly throughout the Bible, and also have a belief in Satan. I mean, is God got 50% of the power and the other guy got 50% of the power? Then you got two gods. And the omnipotence of the one God is taught all through the scriptures, and that, to me, leaves no space for the existence of a personal Satan being, certainly in the orthodox classical sense of it.
I couldn't agree with you more, Duncan. Here's a question that I thought of recently. I'm sure I'm not the first to have thought of it, but I was going to bring this up and ask you tonight, because I ask it of people, and I know you don't believe in the supernatural fallen being nonsense, but I believe that it's important to think as Christians. And unfortunately, Duncan, I'm also convinced that the majority of Christians simply do not think. They pretty much react emotionally. So with that in mind, in Matthew chapter 12, here we have Jesus being accused of casting out, quote, demons by the power of Beelzebub. Now, here's what Jesus said. In Matthew 12, verse 25, and Jesus knew the thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Now, here's the question. If the traditional idea is true that there was this rebellion in heaven, it took a third of God's army in that rebellion, wouldn't that be a pretty strong divided house, Duncan?
Well, yes, I think that's what Jesus is saying there. I think he's using their own logic, as he often does, against themselves. He's saying, well, yeah, if these are your beliefs, well, okay, let's just for a moment hang with them and go with them. But where does that lead? That would lead to a situation where Satan's kingdom was actually collapsed.
Hang tight. We're coming up to our first break. I'm John Anderson. Duncan Hester is our guest. We'll continue right after this.
Thank you. The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Special announcement for our Renaissance Charge customers. Have you ever wondered what it would take to make your car run on 100% electric power? What about making a motor into a generator? How about a simple device that is both a super efficient motor and generator at the same time? What if this could also be used to restore useless batteries and save you money? Because you, our customers, asked for it, we have organized a Renaissance Conference Workshop on November 13th and 14th at the beautiful Coeur d'Alene Resort in Idaho. Not only will you see these fascinating energizers, but for the first time, you will be able to build some alongside genius inventor John Bedini. Register now while there's still room left to participate in this truly historic event featuring our cutting-edge alternative energy Tesla technology. Visit r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com for details. Or call 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514.
To ship a vehicle safely from point A to point B, which company should you choose? Easy. Stateway Auto Transport. Why trust Patriot-owned Stateway Auto Transport? Many reasons. Stateway is not just a broker, but a fully licensed and bonded carrier with its own fleet of trucks and $1 million of cargo coverage insurance. With Stateway, your vehicle rides safely on a direct route on the same truck, and your shipment is always door-to-door with no hidden fees, and every shipment includes free online vehicle tracking. Simply put, Stateway Auto Transport is the best, most efficient, quickest, and friendliest worldwide shipper in the business. To receive a free quote from a live customer service representative, call 877-848-7474 or see us online at statewayauto.com. That's statewayauto.com or call 877-848-7474. Ask about discounts for seniors, military, and all GCN listeners. Stateway Auto Transport, your one-stop shop for worldwide vehicle transport.
Back to the Voice of Reason. I'm John Anderson, your host. Great to be with you on this Sunday evening, Halloween, coming to you live across America and around the world. My first guest is Duncan Hester. He is the author of the book, The Real Devil. He's coming to us out of the former Soviet Union. And what I wanted to get to right quick is here, if Christians would actually think about what they actually believe, that if this rebellion in heaven took place, as so many dear Christians have been taught, then God's kingdom would have had to have fallen, would it not? Based on Jesus' own words.
Yeah, we were just picking up on that before the break, weren't we? The passage in Matthew 12 about casting out spirits by Beelzebub, and Jesus turns their logic against them and says, look, okay, let's just run with your reasoning for the moment. If you're saying that I'm doing this by Satan, then surely then his kingdom is divided, and therefore it's fallen. Incidentally, when he talks about Beelzebub, I mean, this is clearly defined in the Old Testament, 2 Kings 1 verse 2, as a pagan idol. Now, he's not so primitive as to say, oh, Beelzebub, well, you know, guys, by the way, of course, that doesn't really exist. This is just a pagan nonsense. He runs with the ideas, and he's quite fluent in doing that very often in his teaching, that he'll go with their ideas. just to turn them against themselves. And he does this in Luke 16 with the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. He talks about after death people going to be in Abraham's bosom and being in hellfire torment, etc. I know we're getting off topic a bit, but that's another example as far as I'm concerned. He's using the ideas of the day and turning them against people to show that, look, if this is really what you believe, this doesn't make sense. Just as we're trying to say to people today, well, you know, let's just run with your idea. Let's say that there's a personal being called Satan that's up there in heaven with, let's say, a third of the power, 50% of the power, or whatever it might be. I mean, just a minute, the cosmos is absolutely colossal in size. Where did this person get all this power from in the first place? And if there's an almighty God, is there really space for this other being? And I think that's what the Lord Jesus is doing when he talks about if this is so, then Satan's kingdom is divided and Satan has fallen.
Okay, and it also brings us to this logical conclusion, at least. If God is all-knowing, didn't he know this rebellion was going to happen? And was he powerless to do anything about it? Or was he actually deciding he was going to use that? You see, all of these questions come to mind when a person starts believing this nonsense.
Yeah, I got a whole chapter towards the end of my book, Real Devil, called The Hard Questions. And really, the whole thing, the whole classical belief in a personal Satan, to me, opens up so many questions. You know, where does Satan get his power from? If this is a real rebellion, then God kind of, he lost. He was manipulated. He was put out. And to say, God sort of allowed it to happen. Well, okay, so then in what sense then did Satan really have any power anyway? You know, where ultimately does his power come from? What happened then when Jesus died? Was Satan really deposed? Was the devil destroyed, as we read in Hebrews 2:14? Or, you know, is this going to happen at the last day? What is the ultimate fate of Satan? Reading through the early Christian so-called fathers, they all get themselves terribly twisted on this. I mean, will Satan be saved? That's a big question with a lot of them. And what ultimately will be done with him? Is he going to exist forever and ever in torment? What's his ultimate end? These kind of questions just keep on begging themselves, and really the whole thing seems to me to dig itself in deeper and deeper.
Well, certainly Paul had something in mind when he said in Romans 16:20, the God of peace is about to bruise Satan's head under your feet shortly. Nowhere do we find Paul talking about this alleged supernatural being. He certainly had his opposition, which I'll be getting into in the third hour. You know, we have the accusers of brethren. But the thing that I want to get into right quick, and this is and part of the intro of your book, The Real Devil, and I'm going to encourage people to get a copy. We'll let you know how to do that after the next break. And he says, The Real Devil analyzes Bible teaching about the devil, Satan, and demons, concluding that Satan, the adversary, and devil, false accuser, do not refer to a personal Satan, dragon, or spirit being, but rather to any opposing force, and often to the power of sin and evil. Satan doesn't exist as a personal being, but rather the human heart. We ourselves are the ultimate source of sin. Didn't Jeremiah 17:9 say exactly that?
The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked.
Pretty much says it, doesn't it, Duncan?
Yeah, that's what it says.
Where do we find this teaching really originating from your perspective? I mean, I went back to Zoroastrianism and saw when the Jews were in the Babylonian captivity, the influence of Zoroastrianism obviously took its toll on them. Where else have you looked? I know you've done a lot of research in this area over the years.
Well, it seems to me that it's one of the most basic sort of human psychological needs to be able to pin human sin and failure and evil upon something outside of yourself. And so I think that this has gone on right from the start, and I think false thinking about Satan and the devil was around well before Zoroastrianism. from a biblical perspective, I suppose one could say that going back to the Canaanite tribes, they were dualists. And you can see this in the Rosh Hashanah tablets that they've discovered, an awful lot of talk there about Mot as the god of the underworld, the angel of death, all these kind of ideas. And the gods of Canaan were in two broad groups, good and evil, but the good guys and the bad guys. And that basic dualism is to be seen all around the world, not just in the Middle Eastern cultures. It's a common theme in let's call it mistaken religious views all over the world. And I think the unique thing about the people of God, according to the Bible, is that they have held to Yahweh or Jehovah as the one true God who does not have any equal. And I would suggest that Moses, particularly writing the Pentateuch, is trying to deconstruct the idea that there are good gods and evil gods, and is trying to teach Israel, because, I mean, he wrote the Pentateuch for Israel's education there in the wilderness. He's trying to show them that the surrounding views of dualism are completely wrong, and there is only one God. And he's, in places, I think, alluding to those surrounding ideas in order to deconstruct them. And as the thread of history goes on, of course, they are influenced by the world around them, and then they go into captivity, as you say, and they pick up the Persian ideas, unfortunately, there. And then they return to the land, and that means that first century Judaism is well and truly believing in a personal Satan. And again, I think that the Lord Jesus deconstructs all that kind of thing, or tries to, in his teaching. And then the long sad history of Christian doctrine goes on again with the surrounding ideas of Satan and the devil. There's this sort of basic dualism which people believe in, influencing Christianity. But all the time, I believe, with the Bible, the biblical record, untampered with, insisting on the unity of God, the all-powerful omnipotence of God, and the power of his Son, to such an extent that effectively, whatever ideas people have got about demons, Satan, the devil, etc., whether these beings as entities exist or not, becomes irrelevant compared to the huge power of God, particularly in his Son, Jesus.
We hit on something earlier, and I'm looking at this, frankly, I believe is the ultimate answer, is that mankind really doesn't want to take full responsibility for his actions. He would much rather play the game that Adam and Eve did in the garden in blaming something else. Wouldn't you say that was kind of the heart of it, Duncan, or do you think it has a different angle?
No, I would agree with you that there is a huge desire not to have to face up to our own guilt for personal sin, and we would love to pass this off onto somebody else and to externalize it all. And so that's why the idea of a personal external Satan is so attractive. And I think it's also why there is a tendency amongst us to demonize other people and to turn everything into a simplistic black and white, right and wrong scenario. You see this, I think, in movies so often. There always has to be a storyline of where there's the good guys and the bad guys, the cowboys and the Indians. And that is a reflection, really, of the tendency we have to see the cosmos, to see our lives in this simplistic, black and white, dualistic kind of way. But as the Bible is continually turning attention inward, to look at the human mind as the source of our sinful tendencies, and that the real battle is fought not up in heaven. We're not spectators at a show watching a big fight going on up there, but it's a battle that we have a personal part in within the human mind.
Yes. We're coming up to our next break, but it seems to me that Paul in Romans chapter 7 from the 14th verse and following pretty much laid it out. That's where the war is. I'm John Anderson. Duncan Hester is my guest. He's coming to us out of the former Soviet Union. Glad to have him. We'll be back right after this. A lot more coming.
Again, the Congressional Budget Office sounds the alarm. This time warns of Greek-style U.S. debt crises. You heard me right. The GAO is drawing a parallel between the U.S. economy, its debt, and the current Greek economic meltdown. With the debt-to-GDP chart climbing into unfamiliar territory, the growing budget deficit will rise to unsupportable levels. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. The Federal Debt and Risk of Financial Crises document the CBO has published is a must-read for every American. Covering the risk of continued deficit spending coupled with an aging population and the rising interest rates spell economic disaster. It's imperative that you get a copy of this document and study it for yourself. Call me today at 800-686-2237, and I'll send you a free copy. Again, call 800-686-2237 and ask for your copy of the CBO document. Once again, you need to read this government report. Call 800-686-2237.
If the cost of your prescriptions are getting out of control, you want to listen carefully to this. RxDrugCard.com is a simple, innovative program designed to give individuals the same purchasing power as large HMOs and insurance companies. As a member of RxDrugCard.com, you'll enjoy savings of up to 80% on all prescription medications at over 52,000 USA pharmacies, including Walmart, Walgreens, and Eckerd's. Don't risk ruining your health by using cheap, counterfeit foreign drugs. This program provides savings on safe, genuine, FDA-approved medications with low membership fees, unlimited use, no age or income requirements, and coverage for all pre-existing conditions. RxDrugCard.com is an absolute must for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. Enroll today for as little as $4.50 per month at www.RxDrugCard.com and start saving immediately. RxDrugCard.com is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
Are you concerned about dropping or losing your cell phone? Are you tired of dealing with cell phone clips or holsters? Then this message is for you. Introducing Clip Hanger, the best and most affordable cell phone holder on the market, made to keep your phone secure and accessible. Clip Hanger works with all cell phones, including the iPhone, Droid, BlackBerry, and even iPods. When attached to a pant loop, Clip Hanger won't poke when you sit down. And for women, Clip Hanger easily attaches to any purse strap. Carry a phone in your pocket? Simply use one finger to pull it out with Clip Hanger. Clip Hanger is thin and simple, has a one-year warranty against breakage, and prices start at only $10.95. With your Clip Hanger purchase, we'll also send you the auto hook for your car and ship everything to you absolutely free. See the amazing Clip Hanger and the Clip Hanger light with its built-in LED flashlight at myphoneclip.com. To order, call 801-719-2680. That's 801-719-2680. Or visit myphoneclip.com to get your Clip Hanger today.
It's the winter cold and flu supplement sale at HerbalHealer.com. Take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on the best cold and flu supplements available. Many of you know elderberry is exceptional against viral infections. Right now, Herbal Healer Academy has elderberry power, regularly priced at $16.95, now incredibly low at only $10 for 60 vegetarian caps. For children and seniors, our Herbal Healer Academy Flu Away Elderberry Liquid is only $13 for a 4-ounce bottle. Also on super sale, olive leaf capsules, oregano oil plus capsules, and our incredible respirate formula, oregacillin physician strength capsules for your lungs. Normally $34.95, now just $25. Hit the winter specials link at HerbalHealer.com for these cold and flu supplement specials and other on sale products like apple cider vinegar, brain power, and neuro recovery. New customers get a free catalog with your first order. Log on and hit the winter specials now at HerbalHealer.com.
Welcome back to The Voice of Reason. I'm John Anderson, your host. Great to be with you on this Sunday evening, October 31st, 2010, Halloween night. And we're dealing with that whole issue tonight, all 4 hours from different aspects of it. My first hour guest, Duncan Hester. He's the author of the book of The Real Devil, and we'll continue in just a moment and give him an opportunity to let you know how to get a hold of him, how to get a hold of his information. I also want to take a moment, once again, I've been telling you about Ready Reserve Foods for some time. I believe it makes common sense to be prepared for the unexpected, whether it's a man-made or natural disaster. People all over the place are finding that the myth of continuity, that today is pretty much like yesterday and tomorrow will be pretty much like today, is not necessarily true. Whether it's man-made or natural, it can cause serious problems and delays, shortages, the recent riots in France, fuel started running low, food, etc. If you go to ReadyReserveFoods.com, check out what they have. They've been doing this for almost 40 years. They're their own manufacturer, therefore, no middleman. The savings is passed directly on to you. Ready Reserve Foods with an S. That's ReadyReserveFoods.com. And if you'd like to get some further information, if you'd like to talk to one of their preparedness specialists, give them a call. They'd love to hear from you. 800-453-2202. 800-453-2202. My guest, Duncan Hester, he's coming to us live from the former Soviet Union. Duncan, if you would, please let people know how to get a hold of you. And I would recommend you get a hold of his book, folks. Get the information. Once again, we have a lot of serious students out there, and I think, frankly, in many cases, we've got the most educated Christian audience on the planet. Duncan, if you will, share your information on how to get a hold of you and your books.
Thanks, John. Real Devil, you can simply go to realdevil.info, realdevil.info, and you can read the book online. It's there in a number of formats. You can order it. You can even apply to get a free copy. With free postage worldwide. So realdevil.info, and you'll see how to contact me there. Otherwise, I'm involved with CareLinks Ministries, and you can contact me at info@carelinks.net, info@carelinks.net. And if you go to carelinks.net, you can also see The Real Devil online, but the latest edition is up there at realdevil.info.
You know, there are more and more people are speaking out on this issue. A gentleman, of course, in Australia, I got his book, and his name just flat escaped me. A couple other people have written a book on that, Jim Brayshaw, one of our fourth-hour guests. You know, there seems to be a push now that I haven't seen, at least in the 30-some-odd years I've been a Bible student, of trying to get people to wake up and realize, you know, there's no one to blame out there in a supernatural sense. It's simply a misunderstanding of Scripture. You see, in your area there in the former Soviet Union, is the understanding you're bringing forth really growing, or is it kind of spotty like it is here?
Here people are coming out of atheism, or at least technically out of atheism to belief in God. And it sort of makes sense to people to accept the position that we're pushing. I use the idea of no external force of evil and sin coming from within and the battle being within. I use this in practical terms in chatting with folks who are struggling with alcoholism, which is a huge problem here. And we've actually built this into our sort of course that we run called Living with Alcoholism. And we actually talk to people about this idea and ask them to accept it, that there is no, you can't play the blame game, that I'm this because of X, Y, Z, or because I am possessed, or because I'm manipulated by some force larger than me. You really can take control and responsibility for your decisions and for your thinking. And we find what we're talking about is not mere theology, this whole idea that Satan doesn't exist. I know we have to shoot down to some extent all the wrong doctrines which there are around about this, but positively, there's a great power in this. I mean, this is a ladder with which to reach the stars, as it were, that really we can take responsibility and the victory's in our hands.
Absolutely. I'm John Anderson. This is The Voice of Reason. My guest, Duncan Hester, he's the author of the book, The Real Devil. We're going to take a short break and come back with the second half. See you then.
A decade of talk. Genesis. Great Talk Radio is here on the Genesis Communications Network.
In confusing times, would a simple outlook on health and beauty make sense?
If you're tired of taking dry vitamins without noticing any results, then the Bogdana Nutritional Formula is for you. Easy to take and absorb.
The absorption of liquids is 98% in comparison to only 20% for dry vitamins.
For the past 25 years, Bogdana Rejuvenating Nutritional Formula has been proven to get results.
Detox, nourish, and rejuvenate your body with this one-of-a-kind supplement that contains 150 natural and organic nutrients.
And a one-month supply is less than a dollar per day.
Take charge of your health and feel the difference with Bogdana Liquid Vitamins or your money back.
Go to BogdanaLiquidVitamins.com or call 1-800-234-5608.
That's BogdanaLiquidVitamins.com or call 800-234-5608. Give your body what it needs and it will perform miracles in return.
For inner health and outer beauty, feel the difference with Bogdana Liquid Vitamins today.
You may not be thinking of lead and brass as precious metal investments. And you may not be thinking about ammo when we say battery station. But you should, because Battery Station has a large inventory of the most popular calibers. Just go to BatteryStation.com and click on ammunition. There, you'll see where Second Amendment patriots invest in precious metals for .380, 9mm, 40 cal, 45 ACP, 38 Special, 357 Magnum, 223, 30-06, 308, and more. Be sure to look for the October GCN specials in blue boxes, too, at BatteryStation.com. We shoot what we sell, and all Battery Station ammo is all factory, no reloads. You'll enjoy great customer service, great prices, and fast shipping. Plus, all orders over $30 will receive a free patriotic flag. So invest in gold and silver, but don't forget about investing in lead and brass, too, at BatteryStation.com. Call 417-257-7799 or go to BatteryStation.com today.
As gardeners, we can all relate.
What do you do with all of the excess food that you grow?
Freezing or canning may have been the process you've used, but the good folks at Excalibur Dehydrator have a healthy alternative to preserve the fruits of your labor. The Excalibur Dehydrator will help you preserve your fruits and vegetables quickly and easily, so you don't have to worry about premature spoiling. You can also use your Excalibur Dehydrator year-round to make delicious jerky. And the best part? The foods you dehydrate are free from excess additives, salt, and preservatives. And that's something we can all do without. To learn more and to order your very own Excalibur Dehydrator, visit drying123.com and see how the Excalibur Dehydrator can help you preserve your favorite foods.
Mention coupon code GCN and receive a free book on how to preserve your foods.
Again, that's drying123.com, drying123.com, or call 1-800-875-4254. That's 1-800-875-4254 today.
Back to the Voice of Reason. I'm John Anderson, your host. Duncan Hester is my guest. He's the author of the book, The Real Devil. And those of you listening out there may hear us for the first time. If you want to go to our website, it's simply thevoiceofreasonlive.com. That's thevoiceofreasonlive.com. And if you miss part of the broadcast, fear not. Let not your heart be troubled, because all 4 hours will be on demand 24/7 until next Sunday's broadcast. Or you can go into the archive section and pick and choose the hours you might have missed. The Voice of Reason Live.com. That's Voice of Reason Live.com for our site, or GCNLive.com. And when you get there, it says choose a program, click on it, scroll down to Voice of Reason, click on it, and all the information is there to enjoy this, and we have years of archived programs there for you. So if you want to send me an email, I'd love to hear from you. It's A-N-E, the letter A as in Apple, N as in Nancy, E as in Edward, A-N-E, at SkyBest. That's SkyBest.com. A-N-E at SkyBest.com. Always enjoy hearing from you. Doug, and I know you get hit with this a lot because I do, both on the air and when I'm out speaking, is that, okay, what about the Gadarenes? If there's no devil and demons, as you guys say, then explain what was going on there with Jesus and the guy that was supposedly possessed and the pigs?
Well, it seems to me that the whole New Testament is written from the perspective of local beliefs. And that's certainly what people believed at the time, that illness was caused by demons. But I mean, the New Testament defines demons really as idols. When Paul's writing to the Corinthians about meat offered to idols, he talks about eating at the table of demons and says you can't do that. So the bottom line is that there is only one God, as he says there in Corinthians. And that therefore there is no space for the existence of demons in the sense that they believed in these sort of demigods. And so when we come to the healing of people from demon possession, I would say that the Bible is using the language of the day. He took, Matthew 8, the Lord Jesus took all our sicknesses, all our illnesses upon him, and he cured us of them, and that passage there from Isaiah is quoted by the Lord in Matthew 8, but it's in the context of him, quote, casting out demons. In other words, he cured sickness in order to cast out demons. So the bottom line with Legion, when he's cured, we're told, Mark 5, verse 15, that he's sitting clothed and in his right mind. In other words, his situation had been in a wrong mind before he was cured, but once he was cured, he was sitting there in his right mind. And so I would say that this is really a classic example of a person being cured of what we now call mental illness of some form. And there was a guy, George Lamser, who spoke Aramaic as his native language. He grew up in a remote part of Kurdistan. And he commented in his pretty extensive writings about the Aramaic language that when he read the record about Legion being cured, he just understood that as a mentally afflicted person crying out. And he says that a man, quote, having an unclean spirit was an Aramaic term used to describe, as he put it, lunatics. And that's all referenced up in my book, Real Devil, that you can get from realdevil.info. And so I would say that although it is a difficult read at first sight, you could think that he's really... this really is evidence that demons exist. With a little bit of reflection, I think that one sees that, no, this person is a classic schizophrenic. He says, my name is Legion, for we are many. This is classic. This is a man thinking that he had many personalities. And typical with a lot of that sort of mental illness, he had probably had temporary kind of cures in the past, and I think that Jesus did the miracle of sending the pigs over into the sea as a kind of dramatic visual reminder to him that he'd have remembered all his days, that actually his total illness was now taken out of him and had been cast into the depths and was really no more, that he was now cured. His schizophrenia, his sort of multi-personality thing, you can see by comparing the records. In Mark 5, 7, he says, torment me not. But then Matthew 8, 29, are you come to torment us? Mark 5, verse 9, he, in the singular, besought Jesus. Then Mark 5, verse 12, the demons besought Jesus. So this man feels that he has all these personalities within him. And Jesus, again, as we said earlier, he's willing to go along with people to a certain extent and says, okay, you think you've got multiple personalities inside you? That's fine. Let's take them out then and throw them away once and for all and for good. And there you are. You see those pigs drowning in the sea, that terrible visual kind of image that he'd had all his life of seeing that catastrophe, that they had gone for good. So it's one of those passages that I think the more you reflect on, the more you come to see that actually, yeah, that this kind of the orthodox way of reading this doesn't make sense. It begs more questions than it really answers. And just incidentally, not so long ago, a suggestion was made to me that his madness, his mental illness, may have come actually from eating raw pig meat, eating raw pork. There is a kind of disease which goes with that, eating raw pork, which could bring about a mental illness. And so there was a sort of an appropriacy that it was sort of cast back out into the into the pigs, as it were. It's I believe called the trichina parasite. So that would be my take on the so-called demon-possessed man legion, that this is using the language of the day, and God uses the language of the day, and the idea of illness being sort of spoken of as something literal and being taken from one person and put on another. I mean, you've got that back in 2 Kings 5, when you've got the leprosy of Naaman is taken away from Naaman and put upon Gehazi. And God threatens to make the diseases of the inhabitants of Canaan and Egypt cleave to Israel if they're not obedient. So I think that this whole idea of transference of illness under the control of God is also being picked up here with Legion.
One of the ways that I started looking at this, Duncan, was that as you go through, as you point out, there's not a word in the entire Hebraic language that denotes what people think a demon is today. It was simply an idol. That's what it was referring to. They sacrificed their sons and daughters into idols, Deuteronomy 32:17 and Psalm 106:37 as an example. That should give us a real hint. But there are also translational problems, as you well know, Duncan. As an example, if you look at 1 Chronicles 21:1, it says, "And Satan moved David to go number Israel." Then the parallel passage of 2 Samuel 24:1, it says, "The anger of the Lord was kindled, and he moved David to go number Israel."
Mm-hmm.
Now, if a person reads that on the surface, it looks like a blatant contradiction, doesn't it?
Well, yes, it does, but then you sort of think a little bit more, and if we can sort of rob or take away from this word Satan the idea of something sinister in itself. I mean, this is what our so-called culture has put upon the word, but as a word, it simply means, this Hebrew word, shatan, simply means an adversary, something or someone that is opposed. And there's nothing wrong with a good person, in this case God, being a Satan or an adversary. You have it again in the New Testament in Matthew 16, where Peter is described by Jesus as a Satan. He says, "Get behind me, Satan, you are an adversary to me." This does not mean that he of himself was some kind of bad guy or was some kind of person with horns sticking out of them. And as I say, this word Satan, that's all it means, something that is opposed.
Well, didn't he answer it pretty succinctly with the rest of it? He says, "For thou severest not the things of God, but of man," that made him an adversary.
Yep, that's right. In Peter's case, sort of what I'm saying is that the word Satan as itself, as a word just on its own, has no sinister meaning of itself. The greatest adversary that we have is sin. That is our adversary. So it's understandable that sin would be at times personified and described as that great Satan, the great adversary that we have.
I think in many cases the translators didn't do us a favor, because if they'd have been consistent and translated the word Satan, as you're pointing out, as adversary, as they do in many other places, like Numbers 22:32, it's translated, same word, Satan, as withstood.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can get rid of this Halloween idea, And certainly Hollywood doesn't do us any good in that respect. I mean, the supernatural movies fly out of there like there's no tomorrow. And I think too many people are getting their theology, probably, Duncan, from movies and television rather than the Word of God.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, that's a sure thing.
In the former Soviet Union, where you are, Duncan, I've been curious how... I know here I asked you the kind of part of this earlier, but we see a growth in this idea, and I'm wondering, because at one time, wasn't it considered predominantly an atheistic society, even though there were, from what I understand, a lot of Christians there and some other faiths as well. But because people are starting to wake up now, you pointed out that atheists see this pretty clear. And end up coming to faith in Jesus Christ, because you're not putting out the supernatural fairy tale.
Yes, I think people can come easier, as it were, to truth if they haven't had their minds sort of filled with all this nonsense. But what I do observe, unfortunately, with all people, with people here and people all over the world, is that there is a great attraction to the idea that I'm basically a good guy and I've been terrorized by some force that's bigger than me, that's more powerful than me, that's called Satan or the devil. And this desire which there is to put all the blame on somebody else, I see that is very attractive. It's attractive to atheists, it's attractive to absolutely everybody. And that's why nearly all these religions have got this other God, as Jim Brayshaw calls it, this other being out there that they can sort of transfer their sin and their evil onto. So, yep, here in the former Soviet Union, we have a whole load of former atheists coming to God, and that's a good thing. And yes, when they come literally with no religious baggage, yes, it's great to be able to explain to them the truth, as it were, that there is one God and that there's no Satan figure, there's no devil out there. But on the other hand, I do also notice when you get someone who really has got a clean mind, as it were, a clean sheet to work on when it comes to religion, I do also notice this natural tendency to want to believe in a personal Satan as a sort of an excuse for human sin and an explanation for the disaster and calamity which there is in this world, which people would far rather not associate with God, even though the Bible is very clear that he is the author of light and darkness and disaster as well as good.
And it sure puts power where power belongs when we come to understand there is only one God. It's like the Lord God said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord God is one," and that there is not an opposition out there in the supernatural realm. The only adversary that I've ever found scripturally that God has had is mankind, starting with Adam.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely.
And it puts us in a position, then, of being responsible. But going back in the garden, I've had I've had a lot of different people call and give comments on this topic, but I have one person who thinks that the serpent there in the garden was actually some other created being, just not a supernatural being. I can't figure out why. I've looked at that passage so many times, and God said, "I'll put enmity between thy seed," and that's the serpent he's talking to, "and the woman." And there are only two seed that is referred to, thy seed and her seed. If there are three people, somebody didn't have a seed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like musical chairs. Somebody's getting left out. But if there are two people and two seed, then it makes a lot more sense. Not a third party in there causing the problem.
Well, I mean, the serpent is described in Genesis as the most subtle of all the beasts of the field that the Lord God had made. And so it was an animal, and that is how it is alluded to and understood by the New Testament writers. You know, Paul says, "As the serpent tempted or beguiled Eve, so I fear that your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ." So, I mean, he clearly understood, and Jesus understood, the Genesis record to be interpreted in that sense, on a kind of literal level. So I don't see that they lend any support to the idea that the snake was any more than a snake. And I find it interesting, as you alluded to earlier, that in Romans, in that first section in Romans where Paul outlines the gospel and talks a lot about sin from Romans 1 through 8, he never mentions the word Satan nor the word devil. He clearly explains throughout Romans 7 in particular the whole process of temptation, sin, failure as going on within the human mind. And it's a good study, I think, look through Romans and also see how he is alluding to current Jewish ideas about Satan and actually deconstructing them. And he's saying that by one man, Romans 5:12, sin entered into the world and death by sin. He's pretty well alluding there to Jewish ideas that, in fact, sin entered by a Satan figure. He's saying no. It entered by one man. Now, that may not be apparent on the surface as we read through it. But you'll see it more and more once you get on the scent, as it were.
Yeah, it seems to me that when Adam decided to go against God, he became God's adversary, or the serpent, the Natash, that was tempting Eve to do what she did. I'm John Anderson. Duncan Hester is my guest. We'll come back, wrap this hour up. See you then.
Take a minute and hear what I'm about to tell you. You might have heard about Life Change Tea on a radio commercial or a TV commercial. And you did what many people do. You tuned out. I understand. Now the facts. When health fails, you will do just about anything for better health. So why wait? Read our testimonies of better health by drinking Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com. And how much does missing work cost you when you're sick? Get ahead of the sick curve. Get the tea. Here's how to order. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea, T-E-A.com. Or you can call one of our friendly operators, 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Our tea tastes great, and we'll help you with your health, and you can even lose weight. So again, try us out at GetTheTea.com.
Hi, I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendivite, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How's it made, Don?
Well, Extendivite is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose 7 of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendivite continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42, I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendivite. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Where have all the military surplus stores gone? Don't worry, you don't need one. Because everything you need at Military Surplus is at MainMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, Military.com. One of the last surviving true military surplus stores in the country. Go online now to MainMilitary.com and discover a source for hard-to-find surplus items at true surplus prices. Surplus gun cleaning kits as low as $2.99. Complete chemical suits as low as $11.99. See our huge selection of gas masks, filters, and accessories. Finish at M10 gas masks are 3 for $30, and Swiss filters are 3 for $12. Searching for strike anywhere matches? MainMilitary.com has them, plus a whole new product line of survival and first aid kits and lots more. Get free shipping on orders over $50 only at MainMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E Military.com, or call 877-608-0179, 877-608-0179. MainMilitary.com, the main name in military supply.
Welcome back to Voice of Reason. I'm John Anderson, your host. My guest on this hour, Duncan Hester, he's coming to us live out of the former Soviet Union. He's the author of the book, The Real Devil. And once again, Duncan, if you would, please let people know how to get a hold of you, sir.
Yep, you can see the book online and order it and even apply for a free copy at realdevil.info, realdevil.info. And you can contact me at info@carelinks.net or even dh@hester.org, dh@hester.org.
As we kind of wrap this hour up, what would you say for people that are just hearing this for the first time and they're saying, what are you guys, lost your mind? Where should they start, from your perspective, in the study of the scriptures to come to the truth of the understanding of this issue?
I'd suggest having a look at two things. One, I would suggest having a read through Genesis 1 to 3 and just having a think about the implications of that there. And secondly, I would just suggest maybe not so much reading any specific Bible verses, but to analyze the process that you're going through when you sin and what you need to get out of that situation and what's going on, what process of temptation is going on in your experience, because sin and temptation is something that's all around us. And it's pretty easy to get hold of the data, as it were, and analyze it. What's going on there? And as I say, to read through Genesis 1 to 3 and have a think through what the Bible is actually saying, because, as you and I have said many times, there is no Satan figure there in Genesis 1 to 3. That's got to be read into it. And I think that's a good sort of starting ground. And secondly, I'd say have a think through what's going on when you see in others and see in yourself the process of temptation and sin, etc. What's going on here? You know, is there really a little Satan figure standing on your shoulder whispering things into your ear? Or is this really, as the Bible says in James 1 elsewhere, is this really totally an internal process that you can do something about through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God?
Well, James points out very simply that every man is tempted by his own lust and enticed.
Yep.
Pretty much says it. But yet, we want to find a third-party supernatural being out there to lay it at the feet of this nonsense. I've said on the program before, I don't know your stance on this, but I'm convinced if people hear the truth and don't respond to it, you're committing adultery by believing in something that does not exist and giving it almost godlike power.
Yep, I could go along with saying that it's a pretty serious thing to refuse to accept that God is all-powerful and to simply look at all those verses that talk about his omnipotence and basically say, no, God, no, you're not. No, I would agree that's a very serious thing to do.
And there are so many people, programs I do in different parts of the country that when they hear this for the first time, there's always opposition. But it doesn't matter. Wherever I do a program or wherever new people hear this, they start realizing, you know, I thought you were nuts. I've heard from so many people said, I thought you were nuts, but you know, I got into the scriptures, did what you said, and guess what? I see you're right. Duncan, I know it's late over there in the former Soviet Union, but I appreciate you taking the time to send the evening, Halloween night, to be with us, sir.
Thank you very much, John. Much appreciated. Yeah, God bless you.
Take care, sir. I'm John Anderson. This is the Voice of Reason. Coming up the next hour, if you want to get on the conversation, it's toll free, 866-582-9933.